That's good scripture he read too, folks. Seventh chapter of Hebrews. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, with me this morning, please. John, chapter number 5, and verse number 39. John is not one of the so-called synoptic Gospels. John takes an entirely different viewpoint, perspective on the life of Christ. That's why John is attacked and assaulted so much. The book of John is attacked as much as the Apostle Paul is. John chapter number 5 and verse number 39. The scripture says, "Search the scriptures," that is Genesis through Malachi, "for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Father, bless your holy word now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've been on the internet in the last few days doing some research into the Pilgrims and to the Puritans and the founding fathers of our nation and Christian persecution. And I say this morning, the more I read about James Madison, the fourth president, the more I respect James Madison, the father of our Constitution, and I believe with all of my heart he was a Christian. James Madison had a hatred for religious persecution as he witnessed it in the state of Virginia, the Old Dominion, and he despised the idea of the religious persecution that was in vogue in that day. And therefore, he became the author, or at least wise, greatly influenced the writing of the Bill of Rights, or the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. And the first one, of course, is the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. And if you lose that, you've lost it all, folks. Forget the rest of it. And so the Bible said, "If the Son make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Notice the Lord Jesus Christ called the religious leaders of his day to search the scriptures. And the scriptures, of course, were written. The oracles of God were given to the Jew. Romans chapter number 9, it was theirs. God gave them the light when all the rest of the world stumbled in darkness. And so while on the internet doing research into the founding fathers and into the Puritans and the Pilgrims, I happened upon a website by an individual who claims to be spiritually filled and the rest of us are ignorant. And here's the statement that he said. He makes this statement: "The Bible is not the truth." This man says the blatant statement, "The Bible is not the truth." Now, here and there you'll read something that literally shocks you into digging deeper. And so I wanted to know what's going on with this man. And he makes much to do about John Fox and the Quakers, one of the early church sects in America. Now, whether this man accurately portrays what the early Quakers believed or not is a matter to itself. But he makes some startling statements, and this is going to lead into what I'm preaching to you about this morning. Is that book in your hand that you hold right there, the Word of the Living God,
yes,
is that the truth?
Yes.
The Lord Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy emotions and feelings are truth," right? That's wrong. But that's what this man bases his whole relationship with God upon, how he feels and how he personally can discern the spirits. And the Bible is simply a kind of a guideline that he becomes the discerner of spirits to know whether he has the true Jesus living and abiding in him. You cannot separate, they are inseparable, the living Word from the written Word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of the living God long before it was ever written down in form that you have in your hand there. He also says that they think salvation is in the Bible. And he quotes John chapter number 5. And here's what he says: "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. ... But you will not come to me so that you might have life." Did he leave anything out?
Yeah.
Of course he did. It does not match his agenda. "For they are they that testify of me." I would not know the true Lord Jesus Christ without the Word of the living God. That's an absolute impossibility. And so he gives his summation by saying, the only true salvation In other words, to escape from being banned from heaven results from the inward cross of self-denial to purity. In plainer words, he says, to the inward cross of self-denial to purity. And folks, there's not a Buddhist out there today that's not trying to do the same thing. To produce your own righteousness by self-effort. And that will send you to the pit in a heartbeat. For there's only one righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ has made unto me righteousness, sanctification, holiness, and all these things are in a person. I would know nothing of my Lord Jesus Christ without the Word of God. So I say to you this morning that this is dangerous theology, dangerous teaching, and this is the kind of thing that is running rampant today. For religion today is cafeteria religion. People get in the line, they go down through the line, and they pick and choose as they please whatever feels good to them. It is the hedonistic philosophy that's been rampant for the past 50 years, and everybody does that which is right in his own eyes. That's exactly what was going on in the book of Judges when they rejected the revelation of the living Word of the living God. So let's go into the Bible that testifies of Him, and let's see what it says about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. See me, forget me, you've forgotten nothing. Never meet me, no big deal. But if you don't know the Lamb of God that came into this world to bear your sins to Calvary, you've missed it all. And you'll never know Him outside of His written Word. So first of all, let's look at the prophecy. The Bible prophesies of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about a virgin birth in Isaiah chapter number 7. Matthew believed that Christ was virgin born. Do you believe He's virgin born? The Scripture says He's virgin born. When? Daniel chapter number 9 tells you when you can expect to look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wise men from the east came, showed up at the birth of the Son of God, because they had access to the writings of Daniel when he was in Babylonian captivity. So the birth of Christ was clearly foretold, and they knew when to look for His coming. His death and crucifixion is prophesied in the Old Testament. In the book of Psalm chapter number 22, it tells you plainly that He suffered death, and the kind of death He suffered was a crucifixion unknown to the Jews. Yet the Bible prophesies of that. And then of Isaiah chapter number 53, His atonement is prophesied. For it says, He shall bear the sins of many, and shall make reconciliation for the people. And who hath believed our report? Isaiah 53 is very clear. God did put on Him the sins of us all. So the Scripture is very clear in prophecy. These are only a few. It prophesies of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ the first time. In the Old Testament, He's found in type. Time and time again, you find typology in the Bible that refers directly to the Son of God. For example, the Ark of Noah that passed from the old world into the new world. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who carries us from the old world into the new world. He'll take you from what you used to be and make something entirely new out of you. And you'll know that it's new when you've gone through hell on this earth and you still have your faith. And you still have your trust in Christ, for real faith will endure the test. It will stand the test of fire. In the Old Testament, there's the Ark of the Testimony. The Ark of the Testimony, which is called the Ark of the Covenant, my friend, is a type of Christ. It had three things inside it. It had the tables of law, it had Aaron's rod that budded, and it had the pot of manna. It was the only thing in the Old Testament that was capable of putting these three things into. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that is capable of bearing the testimony of God in the tables of the law. The manna, the pot, which is the manna that comes down from heaven. And Aaron's rod that budded, which is the mark and signature mark of God's calling of His priesthood and spiritual power. So the Ark of the Testimony is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. For He was 3 days in, my friend, what's called the heart of the earth, though He was in the belly of a whale. He said, the gates and bars of hell compassed me. The seaweed was in His head, but He was raised up out of it on the third day. Joseph is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Zophpathpaneah is what Pharaoh called him, and that name means the Savior of the world. Joseph sold into captivity. There he was in a prison, but God raised him up and put him at the right hand of Pharaoh. What a man. Of all the people that lived in the Old Testament, Joseph is the purest type of our Lord Jesus Christ than any of them. But you talk about a beautiful picture, and it is this one. When Abraham carried his son to Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice for us, my friend, a sacrifice because he was the father of the faithful. He was willing to give that which was the most beloved thing in his life unto God the Father. That became a sacrifice. That became a type. But you see, friend, they say, as the old-timers said, while Abraham was going up one side of Moriah, a ram was going up the other. And it was his faith that was put at the test at the top, and the ram was supplied. And that ram, my friend, is Jesus. It's when you're pushed to your extremity is when God begins to open the doors. You don't know what makes you tick. You don't know what's going on in your heart. You don't know what's going on in your mind. You don't understand what's happening. Most people are brainwashed in this world. And so God's got to pull us out of darkness and turn the light on. But the light only comes on in stages. For if He turned all of the light of the glory of God on one time in your life, He'd blind you. The glory would literally take your sight away. But the more you see, the more you understand, the more you follow on to know the Lord, the more He reveals Himself to you, and the more you're able to discern the spirits that's around you. And make no mistake about it, when you walk into a church house like we are this morning, you will walk into a church house full of spirits like you wouldn't believe. And my friend, they are religious spirits. Some are born again by the grace of God. Some are self-righteous Pharisees. Some would have nobody teach them. Some would look at you and say, I do not sin. But I'll tell you right now, this man that I read in his website when he said, I look for personal purity. I find Christ within me. I struggle and I go forward and I walk in the light as that light reveals itself to me. I say to you, mister, the only way that God ever revealed the truth to me or anybody else is through His Word. And the only way I can discern any spirit is through the living Word of the living God. And I will say with the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, of all the sinners, I am chief. He said, I persecuted the church of God. I will say with the apostle in Romans chapter number 7, when I would do good, evil is with me always. Don't ever get to the place where you feel a little better than the folks around you. You're not better than they are. Don't ever get to the place where you don't fall on your face crying out to God as a guilty sinner and say, Lord, be merciful to me. The apostle John said in 1 John chapter number 1, he said, if you say you have no sin, the truth does not dwell in you. I want to ask you a question this morning, and you answer me this question. Why is it that you've stopped confessing your sin? Why is it that you've stopped pouring your heart out to Almighty God? What came between you and God? It is your self-righteousness. I feel good about myself. I'm not that dirty, low-down dog in the gutter. I'm not fornicating. I'm not drinking. I'm not this. I'm not that. What are you? You, but a lost, hell-bound sinner without the blood of Christ applied to your soul. That's the kind of preaching that'll get you right with God. The very best of men are at very best. The very best of men are at their very best, just men. None of us deserve heaven. None of us can earn heaven. I don't care how much you search your soul. I don't care how good you think you are. I'm driven to my knees every day. For as the Holy Ghost begins to open me up, light up my soul, I begin to realize, oh God, woe is me. You've put up with me through all that. Yes, son, I still love you. You bore with me when I was that. Yes, son, I still love you. And my friend, fall on your face to God and cry out to Him. And the Bible said, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you'll have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. The Bible said in John chapter number 1, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The reason men will not walk in fellowship with God is because they're full of themselves. Nobody's going to preach to me, I hear them say.
I'm too good for that, I hear them say. I'm a big church leader, I hear them say. I've attained, look at all of my medals. Look at all of my awards, I hear them say. And yet I hear the Apostle Paul cry out, oh God, woe is me. Of all the sinners on the face of this earth, I was chief. Vast difference between the two. This self-righteous crowd would have you believe that the Apostle Paul, that's when he was talking about him before he got saved. No way. That's why I will bow down and kiss no man's foot. That's why I will fall in awe at no man's table. That's why I will cower to no man on this earth. Because we're all sinners. And we need the grace of God. And I'll tell you what has always blessed me and inspired me is to watch some man or woman go through hell itself on this earth and see the grace of God work in their heart. To see them rise up above themselves. To see them reach up and take one hold of one greater than them. Folks, you can't do anything for me and I can't do anything for you. Get off your religious high horse and admit that we are all fallen creatures without the grace of God. But the grace of God is not a word to be thrown around and tossed about lightly. The grace of God is not a doctrine to be in Theology 101. The grace of God, if it is working in your heart and in your life, it's changing you. That grace of God is a powerful thing. The grace of God burns the old man's nature, purges him from who he was, and begins to create Christ in him. And oh, what a marvelous thing it is to see the face and look into the face of a son of God with joy on their face and victory in their soul. And they have no reputation to maintain. They're not interested in what you think about them. If I was concerned this morning about what everybody thought about me, I'd fold my Bible up, quit, and go home. If I thought my ministry was based upon I could please you, I'm finished now. I might as well quit. But it's not about that. You didn't call me. Christ did. You didn't save me. He did. I've been in dark places where the light comes on. I've been in the lives of people who need help. I've seen people for years and years and years espouse a doctrine, preach and teach and carry on and shout and scream. But when it comes time to face reality, they wither like a dead plant. It's what you are when you go through the fire that determines what you are. Amen. 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 So the Lord Jesus Christ is formed in us. Thanks be unto God for the message of the Bible. For Christ is in that book. He's the creator in the book of Genesis. By Him and for Him were all things made. So what's my purpose in life, preacher? To be me. To love me. No! My purpose in life is to glorify the Son of God. I was made by Him and for Him. That's why I live. That's why I breathe. That's why I'm here today. I'm not here to please men. I'm here to please Christ. So I cry unto day after day after day and say, Lord Jesus, show me your way. Show me your word. Show me your spirit. Teach me. I want to learn. 67 years old and I feel like a baby when it comes to spiritual truths. 67 years old and I feel like, my, we have stumbled around in religion for years and years and years and have never really gotten a hold of the great truths, the spiritual truths that change us and make us what we ought to be. Amen. But He has showed me a few things, thank God. I'm one of these that God has to do like this if He's going to teach me anything. I don't know about you, but that's me. He said, come here, boy, I want to show you something. Bang! Thank you, Lord. It took it to get it in. And so some of us learn the easy way and some the hard way. I'm one of the hard ones. Amen. In the Bible's the message of the lawgiver in Exodus. He gave the law to Moses. Then He said, I will keep it. Amen. Did you get that? He gave the law to mankind. Yes, preacher, and I'm keeping it. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. Nobody ever kept the law. The law was given for one purpose. To show you how weak you are and how greatly you need a Savior greater than you are. The Apostle said in the book of Galatians, a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And oh, if you're honest, you will. If you're honest, you'll confess, oh God, I need help. Oh, I know I'm beautiful. I smell good. I've got the greatest clothes. I sing in the choir. I go to church. I'm this, I'm that. But when I get alone, I got garbage flowing through me like you wouldn't believe. How many of you confess that to be true? And the truth of the matter is that you can't do anything about the garbage flowing through you. So what do? Preacher, you fall on your knees and beg for mercy and grace. You say, Lord God, your law has condemned me. I see a law written, the law of sin and death is working in my members. So what can I do about the law of sin and death, preacher? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The only thing that can make you free is the blood of Christ. To learn to plead it, to learn to cry out to Him, to learn to walk in the light as He is in the light. And that light gives you fellowship with the Father. And you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. I know it's hard to swallow, but you'll be amazed that by just walking in fellowship and communion with God, how you get victory over sin. It's an incidental thing. It's not that the object of your life is to get victory over sin. The object of your life is to draw close to God, like he was talking about in Hebrews 7. It's to draw nigh to God, draw close to Him. That's the object of your life. But in the process of doing it, sin begins to come loose. It begins to take its bonds, begins to fall from you. And a greater truth begins to develop in your heart and in your soul, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. And then finally, the Bible teaches, said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. There are they which testify of me in the man and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a progressive thing. In eternity past, there are those like John Calvin that teach that somewhere off in eternity past, there was a day when God begat Christ. They get up in a bold, straight face, teach that to people, and then they get up in our Bible colleges all over this country, and they say, oh yes, and they spin it and make it sound good, that there was a day somewhere in eternity where God begat Christ. No. 1,000 times, no. There never was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ did not exist. Don't ever tell me that's orthodoxy to tell me that the Lord Jesus Christ came forth from the Father somewhere in eternity past. That makes Him subservient. That makes the Father greater than the Son. And for you to understand Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is only as far as our little mind can conceive in the vastness of the Godhead. The Bible said in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. The Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation 1:8 is called the Almighty. The Lord Jesus Christ is God, my friend. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. A God was manifest in the flesh. That's what they teach over here at Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall. You talk to a Jehovah's Witness and they'll say, oh yes, Jesus is God, but He's a God. Jehovah's the God. Oh no, 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 no. Yod, hey, vow, hey, Jehovah is Jesus in the Old Testament. He's God, a very God. I want you to think about what I'm saying to you. Think about this. Do you really believe that you have a Savior? If you think that your Savior started 2,000 years ago or some Mickey Mouse spun day off in eternity, and I've read some of their stuff in their catechisms and the way they try to spin it and make it sound high, that God begat Christ, an eternal begetting and an eternal day. And all. Oh, man, that's just junk. That's just garbage. The one that came into your heart and into your soul when you got saved by the grace of God is the one that made you. The Bible said in Colossians 1, by Him were all things made. The Bible said we're made by Him and for. By who? Him. Him. Who? Christ. The absolute almighty being. So what is it, preacher? It's our arrogance. That's what it is. It's the arrogance of the human mind that thinks that you can dissect God, break Him down, and spread Him out, and you've got Him all figured out. I don't. He's got me figured out, but I don't have Him figured out. He figured me out on day one. Can't have any trouble doing it. He knows me. He knows me. But I know Him, but there's a whole lot more about Him that I want to know. So in the Old Testament, He manifested Himself as the angel of the Lord. First, He was the wisdom of God personified in the book of Proverbs. Then the angel of the Lord manifest in the Old Testament. That's before the incarnation. He was one that came to Abraham outside Sodom and Gomorrah. Shall I hide from my servant the things I'm about to do? We don't serve angels. If that angel of the Lord was just a created creature, angel, Abraham had no business. He had no business calling Abraham his servant. Nowhere. The Bible nowhere says you serve angels. It tells you plainly that the angels minister to you. So he said, shall I hide from my servant that which I am about to do? Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? So who was he talking to, preacher? He was talking to the Lord Jesus Christ before his incarnation. 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea, God begat his son. For the one who came into the garden, who came 2,000 years ago into this world, was the second person of the Godhead eternal, who now had manifested and incarnated himself as a man. And now we have coming into being 2,000 years ago, not God, but the God-man. And that God-man that came into being 2,000 years ago will never cease to be. And so the Bible said God gave his only begotten son. He did give his only begotten son. Something happened to the Godhead that will be forever. Nothing can ever change it. The Lord Jesus Christ will be forever. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man forever. So it was a man who went to the cross 2,000 years ago and bore your sins. It was a man that the angels announced and said that he's the virgin shall conceive and go, and you'll find him over there. And they followed. It was a man. And the reason he came as a man is because when he bore your sins, he knew exactly what a human being would feel like by being subject to them. For he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. God cannot be tempted with sin. James says plainly, you cannot tempt God with sin. So how did you do it? He has to become a man. And so when you say, well, now, preacher, then he was a man like me. No, he wasn't a man like you. In Romans chapter number 8 and Hebrews chapter number 2, it says plainly, he likewise took part of the same. The incarnation of God into a human being, into a man, is a mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It's a mystery. It is a mystery that we'll never understand fully until we see the manifestation of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and receive him and see him as he is. But there's one thing for certain. He that hath the Son hath life. The apostolic church comes close to what I'm talking about. But their problem is that they deny the Father. The apostolic church will stand up and look you eyeball to eyeball and tell you that Jesus Christ is God. With that, I say, amen. You're right. I agree 100%. But then they say that the Father is only a term of an office where he created as the Father. And they deny the existence of the Father as an entity of the Godhead. That is where I disagree with them. Because the Godhead is made up of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, my life is, Lord, is not much. God, I'm just a cloud. I'm just here, and I'm a wind. I'm here today, and I'm gone tomorrow. I'm a little piece of grass that pops up, and I'm over. Flower that blooms and fades. Lord, I do not want to misrepresent you. My heart's desire with all of my soul is to represent the truth. And the truth as you've taught me and as I know it. And Lord, you know I didn't come to this overnight. This is something that I've studied for 40 years. And I disagree with some good men that I respect, but I disagree with them. And our Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name this morning the Son will be made known. The Son will be glorified. Because if we glorify the Son, my Father, we glorify Thee. We glorify Thee. Father, we got people in this house this morning, Lord, prayed a sinner's prayer and they think that's their salvation. We got people in here this morning, Lord. They got vacation Bible school. Somebody led them to the Lord, quote unquote, and have been to church in 30 years, and yet they'll argue with you that they're born again. We've got people in this here and that listen to this that are so arrogant and so proud in the religion. So arrogant and so proud. Practicing things in the dark that they wouldn't want anybody to know about. Yet they're fully certain that they're born again. My Lord Jesus Christ, glorify yourself.
My life is in your hands. This ministry is in your hands. Our Father, we enter in, Lord, to the season. We as Christians can use discernment in this season. We can use discernment. We can help others. We can be wise. We can be learned. We can understand. But we also know, Heavenly Father, that many, many, most that are in this season have no desire to know You. No desire. None whatsoever. I pray this now in Jesus' name. For Jesus' sake, I ask it. Your head bowed this morning. Nobody looking. Anybody raise your hand this morning and say, "Preacher, I have all kinds of serious doubts. I'm not sure. I just have all kinds of doubts, Preacher. I just don't know. I just don't know." There's not a thing in the world wrong with that. Nothing. Not a thing. God bless you. This life's going to end, folks. It's going to end. And when it does, where are you going? We've got these big mega churches popping up all over the country now. They call them atheist mega church. They're proud. They want to flaunt it in your face. They mock you and make fun of you. Folks, that doesn't bother me. It's not about me. Their problem's not with me. What motivates them to do that? Why would anybody want to do that in the first place? What's the point? If there is no God, who are you mocking? Who are you making fun of? You walk down the hospital rooms. You listen to people suffering. You don't find many atheists. For most of them, atheism's a game. That's all it is. It's just a game. And it's mostly played by those who are young and healthy. There's no comfort in atheism. None. No comfort. Where are you going to be when you draw your last breath? I read on the news this morning where a 40-year-old actor, I didn't know him, but he's well known throughout the country, some of the movies that he's been in, just got killed in a car wreck. 40 years old. 40 years old. If you'd asked him 2 or 3 days ago if he was ready to die, if he was about to die and leave his wife, hey, what are you talking about, man? You don't know. You don't know. A man, 79-year-old man this morning, died yesterday with congestive heart failure. He's an evangelist in the country. Started a Christian network. He'd been battling heart problems for 10 years. He knew that his time was running out. A preacher just a few days ago with Alzheimer's disease went out in his backyard, out in a pond or somewhere, and drowned. He was a man of God. But his wife didn't have any idea what was going to happen there. Nobody knew that. Nobody knew it. It just happened. Are you ready? Are you ready? Right now off the coast of China, the Chinese have declared a zone out there that's security zone, no fly zone. The Chinese have. And by doing this, of course, they're way out over the ocean. So the United States, Japan, and Korea, and I don't know who else, have flown their airplanes, the big B-52s, right smack through it to let them know that they don't have the right to call that their own. But they say the tensions are rising. What does that mean? It means that you're sitting on a bomb, folks, that could go off at any minute. That's what it means. You're sitting on a bomb. If that bomb explodes, where are you going? Father, I've delivered what you put in my heart, put in my soul. Glorify yourself now, Lord Jesus. And we'll bless you and praise you. For you're all that matters, all that's ever mattered, and all that ever will matter. There's nothing outside you. Everything that has any value, any truth, or anything at all, it's of thee, from thee, for thee, and to thee. In thy name I pray. Amen. All right, let's stand up in here this morning.
Page 333 in your All-American.
If you would please.
I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Oh, fill thy word and make me new within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame.
Appreciate you listening to me. We'll meet again this evening, 6 o'clock for the evening service. Y'all keep that in mind. And Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for prayer meeting. And look forward to having you. Hope we don't have any bad weather. That little snowfall we had the other day, that's all I want to see all winter now. So I know the kids don't like that any, but I've grown out of snow a long time ago. All right, let's pray and we'll let you go. Brother Robert Gibson, will you dismiss us, please?
Lord Jesus, once again, God.